Amen. I've entitled the message for this morning, A Message for Sinners. A Message for Sinners. First question is, what is a sinner? Would you fit that description? 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, sin is the transgression of the law. That is one of several definitions of sin in the scripture, but we're just going to consider that one for right now. Sin is the transgression of the law, God's holy law. What is a sinner? A sinner is someone who has been guilty of putting other gods, small g, before God. A sinner is someone who is an idolater, who has made other gods for their own convenience. A sinner is someone who is irreverent. They've taken the name of God in vain. They've used His name for wrong purposes without the proper fear and reverence of His name. A sinner is someone who has broken the Sabbath. They know nothing of rest. A sinner is someone who has failed to honor his parents. A sinner is someone who has failed to honor God's authority that he's placed. They've been guilty of despising authority. A sinner is a murderer. That's what a sinner is. He's a murderer. He's murdered people. He's murdered people's characters. He's maligned people. A sinner is a murderer. A sinner is an adulterer. A sinner is someone who is guilty of sexual sin. A sinner is a thief. He takes what doesn't belong to him. A sinner is a liar. He doesn't tell the truth. A sinner is covetous. Now, did I describe you? If you say no, I'm sorry. I really am. It's very sad. You've been blinded. You've blinded yourself and your own web of self-righteousness, and you're not even being honest on any level. If that didn't describe you, I'm sorry. You see, a sinner is someone who really believes they have not kept one commandment one time, nor are they able to. Would that be you? No? I say again, I'm sorry. But you know, if you say no, you also exclude yourself from the benefits of Christ. For the scripture says he came into the world to save sinners. If you're not a sinner, he didn't come to save you. Now I repeat, this is a message to sinners. If you're a sinner, I hope you will listen very carefully. This message is for you. And I'm putting myself in that group. Sinners. This message is for me too. This is a message about how God can accept you. You interested in that? You've seen this foolishness of you accepting God as just a bunch of foolishness. The issue is not, will you accept God? Will He accept you? That is the issue. Will God accept you in all your sinfulness? Like I said, I'm speaking to those who are lawbreakers. Will God accept you? Now look in verse 5 of Romans chapter 10. Actually, let's read verses 5 and 6. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. And I just quoted the Ten Commandments in describing what a sinner is. Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Now here we read of the righteousness which is of the law and the righteousness which is of faith. What is the righteousness of the law? What is the requirement of the law? Now, there's one very small word that summarizes the requirements of God's holy law and the righteousness that comes from the law. It's a two-letter word, do. That summarizes the law. Do. The doing of these things. Turn with me for a moment to Luke chapter 10. I want you to look at this passage of Scripture with me. Luke chapter 10. Verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What's written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Not understand it is what you ought to do, not try to do, this do, and thou shalt live. What is required in law righteousness? Doing. Not admiring, not knowing what you ought to do, but doing. A sincere effort to do is not even an option because we've already failed. Galatians 3:10 says, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The summary of the law is do. Not talk about, but do. Perfectly keep God's holy law. It's called in Romans 2:7 a patient continuance in well-doing. That's law righteousness. God is righteous. He will accept nothing less than perfect righteousness. And He won't lower His terms. He won't lower His standards. He won't negotiate. The only thing the law recognizes is perfect obedience. Law righteousness is impossible for law breakers. Sin one time, and you've broken the whole law. For James 2:10 says, For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Any and every sinner knows that salvation by works, by law, is unattainable for him. You know that? Let's go on reading verse 6 of our text. Turn back to Romans chapter 10. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith. Now what is this righteousness which is of faith? We'll turn back to Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now this is the righteousness which is of faith. It has a different language. Now the righteousness of faith is the great glorious truth of justification. being made righteous by Jesus Christ. That's the righteousness of faith. It's justification. That's the theme of Scripture. And you know, I think it's interesting. Probably almost every church in Lexington would say, I believe in justification. Yes, we believe in justification. We stand for justification. Most people would say that because it's in the Bible. You see the word all the time. It's in there a lot. Yeah, we believe in justification, but here's the issue. How is a sinner justified? That is the issue. How is a sinner justified? Is justification God's reward to you in response to something you've done, believed, or intended to do? Is justification God responding to something you do? I believed, I've repented, I've changed my life, I've straightened up, I've quit this sin and I've started doing this thing. I'm justified because I fill in the blank, whatever it might be. That's called justification by works. That's all it is. If I believe that, I'm still under law. I'm still in the law righteousness. If salvation is dependent upon anything I do, that is justification by works. Now, when Paul speaks of this righteousness which is of faith, look with me in verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith, justification by Christ, speaketh on this wise, and it begins with, say not in thine heart. It tells you what not to say. Now, isn't that interesting? It begins with a negative. Somebody says, I don't want to hear negative things. I want to hear positive things. I don't want to be told what not to do. I want to be told the truth. Now, when we say things like that, we're just demonstrating a lot of self-ignorance. We have so many warped, wrong thoughts. We're born with them. We struggle with them all the time. And when he talks about the righteousness of faith, he begins by telling us what not to say. You know, to build on a foundation, a lot of dirt has to be removed, doesn't it? To get that rock, there's a lot of dirt that needs to be removed. And he begins by telling us what not to say. I wonder if anybody in here, beginning with this man right here, is distrustful of their natural thoughts. The things you think, they're wrong. They're wrong. You believe that about yourself? Now he tells us what not to say. Now look what it says. But the right, verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in your heart. And this is a quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 30 where Paul adds his comment on it. Who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Don't say something like that. Or who should descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth and the heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now, what Paul is talking about in verses 6 and 7 is something that is unattainable. Don't say, what can I do to get Christ to come down from heaven and do something for me? Just get that language, that thought completely out of your head of anything you can do to get him to respond to you. Don't even think that way. Don't think, what can I do to make his resurrection work for me? Don't think that way. That's just works. Don't get that stuff out of your thinking. What can I do? What can I be? What can I do to get him to come down from heaven and do something for me? What can I do to make what he did work for me? You know, and that's what most people believe. They believe, well, God loves everybody. Christ died for everybody, made salvation available for everybody. But there's something you need to do to make what he did work for you. Paul says, stop saying that. Stop saying that. That's called salvation by works. That's a law of righteousness. It's the same thing. Just quit talking like that. Don't think, what can I do to get him to do something for me? Would to God that that would just get out of our thinking. Even right now. What can I do? What can I do? But verse 8, but what saith it? You can't get up into heaven to get Christ down here to save you. You can't descend into the deep. These are things that are unattainable. Don't say this, but what says it? What does the righteousness of faith have to say? What does it say? But what saith it? Verse 8, the word is nigh thee. It's real near. You know, heaven's a long way away. The deep is a long way away. You can't get there. These things are unattainable to you. Just unattainable. But here's what the word of faith does say. The word is very near. It's nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You don't have to ascend into heaven or descend into the deep to have it. The word from God regarding how you can be saved, how you can be justified, how you can be cleared of all guilt, how you can stand without guilt before God, even though you're so sinful in and of yourself. This word is nigh you. It's in your heart right now. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. Timothy, preach the word. I love that scripture. Timothy, preach the word. Whatever the word says, preach it. This word is very near. It's very near to everybody in this room. If you're under the sound of the gospel, and you are right now, this word is very close to you. And what is it? And remember, this is a message for sinners. If you're a sinner, if you're a lawbreaker, if you're a transgressor, this will interest you greatly. Here it is, the word of faith which we preach, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, do you hear that? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, do you hear that? What's it mean? If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, what you believe in your heart, it'll come out in your speech. You'll confess it with your mouth. Now, this word confession, if thou should confess with your mouth, this word confess, it means literally to speak the same thing. It means to agree. If I confess, I agree with what God says. Now, that's what I do when I confess. I agree with what God says. I agree with what every believer says. Do you know believers all believe the same thing? I mean, there's no difference in your belief. They believe the same thing. If you will confess, and you know, you confess to plead, you plead guilty. I really believe this. I confess. Paul said, after the way, this I confess unto thee, after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written. I'm confessing this. I really believe this. You know what I really believe? I really believe, and I'm confessing it, the Lord Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Now, the word Lord means, the Greek word means having power. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has all power. Another way of saying that is I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the absolute sovereign of the universe. He's the creator. He controls creation. He's the one who created. He controls everything that happens in providence. You know everything that happens is His will being done. Whatever happened to you yesterday, it was His will being done. Whatever's going to happen to you today, it's His will being done. What happens to you tomorrow is His will being done. He's the Lord. He's in control. He's in absolute control. He's all powerful. He has the power to make His will come to pass, and He does make His will come to pass. He's the Lord Jesus. You know, the thief understood that. He said, Lord. Lord. He saw that one hanging on a cross. All kinds of other people saw Him, Lord. I bet people snickered when the thief said that. If He's Lord, what's He doing hanging there on the cross? But the thief knew, He's the Lord. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I know you're not going to stay on the cross. You're going to be successful when you come back as a mighty reigning king. Oh, Lord, remember me. The leper understood this. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. You ever come to the Lord like that? Just like that leper did. Lord. Lord, you're the Lord. Everything's in your hands. Whatever you do is right. If you will, you can make me clean. You know, the Apostle Paul understood this. He didn't understand it until the Lord revealed it to him. But when he was on the road to Damascus and the Lord knocked him off his horse with a blinding light, he said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And when he found out who he was, he said, Lord, what will you have me do? You see, He is Lord. Do you confess that? Do you really believe it? Is it something? This is who you believe. This is who you confess. He's Lord. He's Jesus. I love His name. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He's the Savior. And He's exactly who I need. He's the Lord Jesus. He's the sovereign Savior. Saying the same thing. The sovereign Savior. He's the Lord. That means He's got the ability to save. He's Jesus. He does save. That's who He is. He saves. Do you confess the Lord Jesus? Do you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead? Look in our text in Romans chapter 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You publicly confess what you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Now, do you believe that in your heart? Why look ye for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. And beloved, it's not simply believing in the fact of His resurrection, but you have some understanding of why He was raised from the dead. Look back in Romans chapter 4. Who was delivered for our offenses. That's why He died. And He was raised again for or because of our justification. Now, do you believe that in your heart? Do you believe that when He was raised from the dead, it's because God was satisfied with what He did? And all sin was put away? And everybody He died for was justified? Do you believe that in your heart? That He's the Lord Jesus. That you confess that with your mouth. And you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Well, if that's the case, you're going to be saved. If you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you're saved. All that salvation is, you possess. You have God for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? You have nothing that can prevent your salvation. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? There's nothing about you that can prevent you being saved. You can't be condemned. Who is he that condemneth? You can't be accused. No accusation. You're saved. Right now, beloved, don't think, what do I do? What do I need to do? Nothing. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you confess with your mouth with what you believe in your heart. Thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For, here's Paul's comment on this. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, before I comment as to what that verse means, let me make a couple of statements that I hope will be helpful to you, helpful to me. I want to ask a question. Is it possible to believe in your heart what you do not believe in your head? Is that possible? No. You can't believe in your heart what you don't believe in your head. It's absolutely impossible. Now, here's another question. Can you believe in your head what you do not believe in your heart? No. No. It is impossible. Does that mean anybody who believes what we call the doctrine of grace, if they really believe the doctrine of grace, they're saved? Doesn't mean that at all, because someone that's not saved doesn't really believe the doctrine of grace in the first place. Or they might give lip service to it, but they don't really believe they're totally depraved. Not really. If you really believe you're totally depraved, God's taught you. And you will see the necessity of all of what we call the doctrine of grace. You will without question. But there is a notion that you can really believe something in your head, but it's head knowledge only and not in your heart. That's not really true either. So what's he talking about when he's talking about when with the heart man believeth? Because I don't know how many times I've stressed out over this. I'm afraid I believe in my head and I don't believe in my heart. I've stressed over that many times. Is what I believe, is it just knowledge? Is it just assent? Or has it really done something for me? Do I really believe the truth? Do I really believe the gospel? Now let me give you a hint. You can tell whether your knowledge is saving knowledge by what it makes you do. Does it make you cry for mercy? The knowledge you have, does it make you cry for mercy? Does it make you say, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him? Now that's saving knowledge. If your knowledge doesn't make you, you just begin right there. If your knowledge doesn't make you see you're a sinner and your utter need of Christ, it's not saving knowledge. If your knowledge makes you see that you're nothing but a sinner and you absolutely need the Lord Jesus Christ, now that's saving knowledge. Now what is this thing of believing with the heart? What's it mean? Because like I said, I've many times thought I'm afraid I only believe with my head, not with my heart. So what's it mean to believe with your heart? I want to do that, don't you? Whatever it is to believe with the heart, that's exactly what I want to do. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, the Scripture says. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, righteousness. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. I tell you what, I know there's only one righteousness. I know I'm a lawbreaker. And the only righteousness there is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, that's what Paul means by righteousness, with the heart man believing unto righteousness. David said in Psalm 71:16, I've made mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. righteousness is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. His law keeping. He kept the law, didn't he? He never sinned. You really believe his righteousness is the only righteousness. You really believe your only hope of salvation is for your sin becoming his, him putting it away on Calvary's tree, and his perfect righteousness, his law keeping, being yours. Now that is righteousness. That's what, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now the heart simply means the whole man. That's all it means. It's not talking about something anti-ooey-gooey, nebulous. You can't really tell what, some kind of, it just means the whole man. It means the understanding. It means the affections. And it means the will. That's the whole man. Now, false religion, error, never appeals to the heart. Arminianism, for instance, appeals to the will. Reformed doctrine appeals to the intellect. Pentecostalism and all that kind of stuff, it appeals to the emotions. But the gospel addresses the whole heart. It addresses the understanding. It addresses the affections. It addresses the will. Now here's what this means. With my understanding, I understand that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is the only righteousness that I have. I understand that. Now not only do I understand that, I love it. I love this. I love having his righteousness. And you know what? This is what I desire. I really desire to have only his righteousness. There's my will. That's what I want. His righteousness only. Now, with your heart, do you believe unto righteousness? Well, if you do, with your mouth, confession is made. This is not something I remain quiet about. With my mouth, I confess it. I plead guilty to really believing that the only righteousness there is the righteousness of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's my only righteousness before God. I plead guilty. I'm publicly confessing it right now. I plead guilty. This really is what I believe. This is the only message I want to be identified with. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you confess this? Do you believe? And brother, sister, God saved you. Isn't that wonderful? God has saved you. He's done something for you. He's reached down into the depths to do something for you. So much so that verse 11 says, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now I want to save that one for next week, but let's put it this way. You don't have anything to be ashamed of because you have his righteousness. The whole story on you is good. You have nothing to be ashamed of. And you know what? You're not ashamed of this. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You don't have anything to be ashamed of. And that blows my mind because there's so much I do have to be ashamed of. Shame, oh my, you know, but I got his righteousness. I don't have anything to be ashamed of. And I'm not ashamed of my hope. I love my hope. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I hope everybody in this room doesn't walk out of here not saved. If you walk out of here not saved, it's because you do not believe what I just preached. That's the only reason. You don't believe it. You don't believe in his righteousness. You trust your own. But oh, if you believe this message, you're walking out of here a saved individual. May God make it so for all of us. Let's pray together. Lord, we have nothing else but this. The Lord Jesus, the sovereign Savior. Lord, we confess Him. He's the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we believe in our hearts that You raised Him from the dead. And You raised Him from the dead because You were completely satisfied with what He did. And that all sin was washed away, put away, and that all Your people were justified by what He did. Lord, truly with our heart, we believe unto righteousness. We really believe His righteousness is our personal righteousness before You. And Lord, this is what we confess. Lord, by grace, make it so. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One last statement. I was thinking about confessing, and I'm up here publicly confessing. I'm the one getting to do the talking. What a blessing that is. But somebody said, well, how do I confess Christ? I'm not the preacher. I can't get up in front of everybody. Well, you speak Him. You speak Him. He's your message. But the believer's public confession of Him is baptism. That's how I confess Him publicly, by baptism. When the Scripture says they were baptized confessing their sins, that doesn't mean they got up in front of everybody and confessed all their sins and then they were baptized. No, don't ever do that. Save us. Save us. Don't do that. It means you confess that you're so sinful that the only way you can be saved is by the life of Christ and you being in Him. When He kept the law, you did. When He died, you died. When He was raised from the dead, you were raised from the dead. Now that's what it is to confess Christ. I confess Him by believer's baptism. Mitch, come lead us.